This evening, we will be talking about the parable of Jesus Christ. And this particular parable is extremely precious to all of God's children. It is a parable that is written in John 12. And this is a parable of a corn of wheat. This particular parable is difficult to dissect. And until and unless you walk through the life of Christ and grow in Christ, you will not comprehend and accurately understand this particular parable. Now I shall read this parable with you and then begin to explain each and every one of the verses. John 12, verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Verse 25, "He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Now, dearly beloved, this is an extremely difficult parable for many to understand, simply because the parable of Jesus lies in the what we call hidden manna. To be able to understand one thing, you have to be able to see in the light of the whole gospel of Jesus Christ and in the light, of course, of the whole scripture. Until unless you can see that, of course, with the help of the Holy Spirit, and live accordingly to the life of Christ, like I mentioned earlier, and born again of the Spirit of God, you will not comprehend this particular short parable. As short as it is, it contains one of the most crucial requirements for a child of a living God, once born again, to be able to arrive at the destinations of the image of his Son Jesus when we arrive in maturity in Christ Jesus as we end our life on earth. Unfortunately, many, many Christians today, and even born-again Christians, do not comprehend this parable. Likewise, many, many pastors and preachers also do not comprehend this particular parable. This parable is an extremely high requirement of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is absolute truth. Believe it or not, many, many churches today are not preaching the truth of Jesus Christ. Most of the time, either they give you the false gospel or heresies such as Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons, and many others, or they give you religion or social gospel where they diluted the gospel of Jesus Christ, looking like what some people call Hollywood Christianity. In other words, they have diluted it to look like the world. Or you go to church, they give you a few words here and there, and it sounds good, wonderful, and have lots of fun. The churches in the end times are what we call the Laodicean churches. They are neither cold nor hot. They're lukewarm. And many Christians are lukewarm Christians. They go to church every Sunday. It looks pretty good. They don't miss the fellowship. Sometimes they join the prayer meeting. However, they do not live a lifestyle according to the scripture. And what is sad is many, many preachers are not preaching the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They would like to reduce the truth and make it easy for the world to come through the church. What they want to see are the numbers of people attending the church rather than preaching the truth of Jesus Christ, which is not popular at all. The gospel of Jesus Christ are not meant to attract the world and make it popular, simply because it is right the opposite of the world. As Jesus mentions in Matthew, there are two ways. One is a narrow way, straight and very, very narrow. And the other way is broad and easy. But the broad way attracts, of course, majority of the people. They walk in that road that leads to destruction. And the narrow way, it is so narrow and straight that few will find that road and ultimately finish that journey on that road. However, that particular narrow and straight road will ultimately lead unto eternal life. And that is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today we will be reading that in the light of that narrow path. If you have gone to a church where they just give you social gospel, easy believism, or just focus on some laws, and there's no relationship with the Holy Spirit, never mention about being born again of the Spirit, never mention about crucifixions of the flesh, or denying yourself and following Jesus, you better put a question mark on that church and the kind of gospel you're getting. Because the truth of the matter is, the gospel of Jesus Christ require denying yourself, taking up the cross, and follow him. Until unless the preacher preaches those three requirements, I would suggest that you look for another church where the truth is preached. My dearly beloved, as a preacher, I like to give you discounts on the gospel of Jesus Christ and make it easier for you. But that is a lie of Satan. And if I preach that way, I myself will end up as a false prophet. I cannot discount the word of Jesus. Now it says right here in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." You know, our Lord, in his wisdom and his accuracy, when he explained to his children, he literally explained it very precisely. And it says right here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." Have you seen a corn of wheat before? The whole irony is this. If the corn of wheat dies, then it began to grow and it began to become, of course, the plant. And of course, before long, you discover as it grows into a plant, it bears much fruit. If a corn of wheat is left alone on a table, it will stay that way even for 1,000 years, and it would not sprout into a plant. A corn of wheat is a corn of wheat, like it or not. Likewise, what our Lord tells us today to his children is that until unless we are born again of the Spirit of God and choose to die to ourself we are going to stay the same. Now, if you are not born again Christian, this would not apply to you. And the whole gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be applied until you are born again of the Spirit of God. Because it is the Holy Spirit that is given to us the moment we are born again, the moment we claim Jesus Christ is our personal Savior and acknowledge His death on the cross for our sins. And we genuinely are born again of the Spirit of God, which is a very distinct experience. It is not wishy-washy. It is not water baptism. It's got nothing to do with that at all. It is born again of the Holy Spirit. When you confess that sins genuinely from your heart, you will experience the joy and peace that gets in your heart, and the Holy Spirit will come through, and you will know that, and your life is totally transformed. That's what I'm talking about. Now, once you're born again of the Spirit of God, what our Lord tells us is how to journey between the beginning of the door of the entrance of the narrow and straight path unto the finish line. If you are trying to battle the narrow path on your own strength, you will not make it. I guarantee that. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling in God's children, to give the supernatural power of transformation and the supernatural power to counteract our flesh. Because our flesh on our own strength is impossible to be counteracted. It is controlled by the power of darkness. And I will explain further how difficult it is. Until unless the Holy Spirit gets in our body, we cannot deny ourselves. Except a cord of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. The first process to become born again, we require falling down to the ground. And also, once born again, as we journey all the way through, we must maintain the position of falling into the ground. In other words, the word fall into the ground means to be humble. Until unless you are humble, you cannot come and accept Jesus as your personal Savior, isn't it? Our Lord tells us, until unless we are humble as a little child, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So the first attitude is humility. Humility is very essential to maintain grace that is imparted by the Holy Spirit. So for one to be born again of the Spirit of God, it requires falling to the ground, which means the attitude from the heart of absolute humility. So once you're born again of the Spirit of God, you cannot revert to your flesh. Reverting to the flesh in terms of pride or anger or any form of sins cause one not to die. So it's very important for us to die. Perhaps you say, what do you mean to die? Do I mean physical death? No, not that. What I mean is spiritually, physically, or emotionally, we must surrender to Jesus. In other words, our Lord has requirements that we must follow. And there are many times those requirements require our flesh to be crucified in order to journey the ways of godliness. Now, many Christians who are born again did not realize that. And as a result, they are not able to grow in the Spirit. It is very important, as the rule of the thumb that Jesus has given us, if any man were to follow me, first of all, you must deny yourself and then take up the cross and follow me. Now, self-denial is not easy at all. Self-denial means there are many, many habits, sinful habits that you have. There are many, many interests that you will have. And there are many, many behaviors that you have that are sinful, that conflict with the presence of the Holy Spirit. In that scenario, you must remove those sinful habits and sinful behaviors, and of course, sinful lifestyle. You must crucify them. You must deny them. Deny means you must despise it. You must get rid of it. And you must ask the blood of Jesus to wash away all of the sinful habits and lifestyle that you had before. If you are a smoker, you must quit smoking. If you like to watch and go into the cinema and watch all of those Hollywood movies, you need to get rid of that. Because those movies are written by Satan, of course, through the mind of the unbelievers, and showed you, and that caused you to be drunken spiritually. And you do not want to have any participations with the power of darkness. If you like to gossip, you need to stop doing that. And if you like to say words, foul-mouthed words, you also need to remove that and ask the Lord Jesus to forgive your foul mouth and transform it to the mouth that speak grace to the hearers. If you have hatred in your heart, you need to confess and repent of it. If you have pride in your heart, you also need to repent of it. So you see, we have many, many sinful habits and mindset and many other behaviors that is not acceptable in the sight of God. The moment we choose to believe in Jesus and the moment we are born again of the Spirit of God, God has imparted the Holy Spirit to indwell His children. And that Holy Spirit will continue to help us and continue to journey with us all the way through. However, we must pay a close attention because the one that indwells in our heart right now is holy. The Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Trinity. You must respect Him. And you must make Him comfortable to stay in your heart. Now, many Christians are not aware of that. Now, I am going to explain to you that the Holy Spirit is holy. And He is a Lord of our life and our heart. For that reason, we must make Him comfortable to stay in our heart. We must not defile our heart. As the Apostle Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, do not quench the Holy Spirit. And the moment we sin and refuse to repent of it, the Holy Spirit is grief. You make Him sad. And He can't withstand darkness. For that reason, we must put close attention to our mindset and our heart. What are we thinking? Are we thinking godly stuff, godly things? Or are we thinking carnal things? Are we thinking sinful things? Be very careful because the power of darkness out there are to compete with the Holy Spirit in our mindset. You see, the battle is in the mind of men. He will give you many, many thoughts if you have yet to discover that. I'm sure you do by now, especially if you're an adult. That the devil continues to hurl in our mind all kind of the thoughts that brings you into the cares of this world. Whether it is your job, whether it is your finances, whether it is the worry of your children or your health and so on. All of those things, Satan will bring attention to you in your mind every day, every moment, until you're not able to remember God's words. For that reason, it is very important, just like the Lord Jesus says, To put words in our heart and mind is a blessing. You must practice godliness by putting the words of God and truth that sanctifies you through His words in your heart and in your mind. Because the battle is extremely ferocious. If you are born again of the Spirit of God, you will discover the battle right then. If you are not born again, you will not experience the battle at all. Simply because, just like fish, when fish is alive, they swim against the current. The dead fish, they don't have to fight against the current. They just float along the current. So once you're born again of the Spirit of God, you will naturally discover the battle and the struggle against the current of the world. Now you say, what is the meaning of the world? The world is defined by the Apostle John as the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And the Apostle John says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let me ask you a question. Do you love the world? Do you have the lust of your eyes? Do you have the lust of your flesh? And do you have the pride of life of mammon? Those three things are very nasty. It can choke the word of God in your heart and defile you. It can cause the Holy Spirit to be grieved. And if you refuse to crucify yourself and your flesh and let that germinate in your heart continuously, it will stifle your spiritual life and prevent you from growing spiritually and stop a healthy relationship with the Holy Spirit. For that reason, the Word of God tells us, and Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. You see, the journey of the path of the cross is extremely narrow. You can't bring much sins inside it and try to journey that path. It doesn't work out that way. If you have yet to discover that, you will discover sooner or later if you are still alive spiritually. You see, we can die spiritually if we continue to sin and quench the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul says, be very careful not to grieve and quench it. What's the meaning of quench? Quench is the same thing as killing or extinguishing, like extinguish a candlelight. You blow it off, it's gone. And now what happened? Darkness comes. For that reason, it is very important for God's children to confess their sins by the blood of Jesus daily. Of course, on the sins that you committed, you confess. The sins that you do not commit, you do not have to confess. The reason is simple. We get exposure to all kinds of sins out there. And many, many people, believe it or not, especially unbelievers, they're dead spiritually and they carry many, many viruses, spiritual viruses called demon. And those are infectious. It can pass from one to the next one like a flu bug can pass. So for God's children, as a baby especially, where the immune system is low, you will catch those spiritual viruses and before long it will infect you. You see, the whole humanity is very sad. Once we are in the fallen state, ever since Adam and Eve committed sins, we are born in sins. And the devil is our father. And so you can see a little child who are physically born in this world, they are very pure and lovely, isn't it? But as they grow older, they learn all the vices from school. Before long, as they grow into a teenager in their workplace, and as they grow into adult, they have learned every kind of sins, sinful habits and sinful thoughts, and committed many, many sins in their life. And once they have committed many, many sins, many times it could be too late or fatal. There are many youngsters that involve in gangsters killing some other people and end up in jail. I used to visit them and study the Bible with them. It is very sad, and they are permanently in jail because they've committed crimes, violent crimes, which I'm not allowed to know since I'm in the jail ministry. However, that's what the whole humanity is all about. For that reason, Christ Jesus came to set us free, being slaves to sin, and to set us free and to give us his life. So not only he take away our sins by dying on the cross on our behalf, but more importantly, he sends the Holy Spirit to teach us the truth and to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ someday. And of course, finally, to transport us into eternity, as the Holy Spirit is our passport into the kingdom of heaven. For that reason, we must uplift the Holy Spirit. We must never, ever quench the Holy Spirit through our sinful habits. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us that we must deny ourselves. That's the same thing. We must die to ourselves in terms of our sinful habits. Like I mentioned earlier, anything that negates the Word of God, we must remove them and transform them through the truth. If you used to smoke before, then you need to quit smoking and be godly in your mouth. If you used to gossip, then you need to quit gossiping about somebody and use that lips of ours to glorify him. If we used to watch cinemas, then we need to quit that habit and begin reading the scripture and spending time before the Lord God, reading the Word of God, praying before the Word of God, and listening to godly preachers, the servants, the genuine servants of the living God, to be able to grow you in the Spirit. It is very important to practice godliness. And if you do not practice godliness, as a result, the Holy Spirit that indwelt you and the life of Jesus, even though you're born again of the Spirit of God, cannot be transformed. It'll take a very, very long time in absolute obedience and repentance before you grow. For that reason, it is very important to pay a close attention. Number one, when you die, in terms of your flesh and yourself, then the Holy Spirit can live. You see, the life of Christ against our flesh is described by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5:16. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. For that reason, the Apostle Paul says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Galatians 5:16. In other words, the flesh and the Holy Spirit is like the seesaw. Have you been to the playgrounds for little kids and see the seesaw? When the child is one side at the bottom, the other child is right on the top. As the seesaw swings up and down, you can see the opposite of each other. One child is on the top, the other one at the bottom. As the one at the bottom goes up, the other at the top goes down. The seesaw. Likewise, the Holy Spirit and our flesh is like a seesaw. When the Holy Spirit is up, the flesh has got to be down. And when the flesh is up, the Holy Spirit is down at the bottom, like the two children playing that seesaw. So the Apostle Paul tells us, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and automatically ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, if we would obey the Holy Spirit, we must sacrifice our flesh. Our sinful habits has got to go. If we choose to walk in our sinful habits, automatically we sacrifice the Holy Spirit. Is that clear? Because these two are negating each other. They are opposite characters. Our sinful nature is right the opposite of the holy nature of God, the Holy Spirit. And so, as a result, like Paul says, we cannot do the things that we should be doing. The things that I should be doing, I end up not doing it. The things that I am not supposed to be doing it, I'm doing it. What is it that is in me? The Apostle Paul says that in Romans 7. And the Apostle Paul concluded, it is the law of sin that has controlled us. Because I want to do it, but I don't have the strength to carry out doing it. For example, if you have a habit of hating somebody or getting angry with somebody, you see somebody you don't like, you get to be critical in your mouth. That's the way we are. And to try to remove that is almost impossible, isn't it, in our flesh. It's very, very hard today. Perhaps I get angry and I try to curb it. Before long, I throw up again and I forgot I got angry again. I am sure you know what I'm talking about. But that's our nature, my dearly beloved. For that reason, the Holy Spirit is sent into our heart to help us to be able to overcome that sinful habit, that sinful line of thought and lifestyle. And so by obeying the word of God, by knowing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and by allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our mind and our body and our lifestyle, then we will begin to grow. For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Romans that we must present our body a living sacrifice that is holy, that is acceptable in his eyes. And be not conformed to this world, but rather be transformed with the renewing of your mind through the word of God, that our mind must be transformed. You see, we have been living in a society that is full of lies. Ever since we were born, if some of us are born in a Christian family, we were very fortunate with godly parents is one thing. But if you were born in a family that is abusive, that is ungodly, or not even believers, you will suffer absorbing many lies, even from our own parents. And then the school will teach us more lies because they will teach us that we come from monkey. Well, monkey do not need education, you know. And if we come from monkey, then what happened to the monkey today? You see, monkey do not need morality. Monkey do not need God. Why go to school with your monkey? You see, all of those lies began to infiltrate into our system, into our home, into our children. Wherever we go, they're full of lies from Satan. And so as a result, we are filled with many, many, many lies in our head. For example, the world is controlled by money. If you have no money, there is no talk, right? You know that. That's how the world operates. You got no money, you got no friends. You see, Satan have taught us how to worship money. But the word of God tells us, and Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve Jesus and mammon at the same time. It is not possible. For a Christian, born again of the Spirit of God, mammon or money is to be utilized to glorify our God. It is not to be worshipped. However, there are many, many, even though born again Christians or even preachers that worship money. I'm sure you've heard of stories of embezzlements of money by preachers. That is very sad. Because money itself has the power of darkness. So except a quart of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now we must contrast this particular verse with John 15. Jesus tells us to abide in him. And Jesus said, abide in me. And until unless you abide in him, apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. And if you abide in me, you will bring forth much fruit. My dearly beloved, when God chose us, there is one main purpose, and the most important purpose of being God's children and his saints is to be fruitful. John 15:16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. My dearly beloved, there are many, many Christians out there, even including in the leadership role like pastors and preachers, that do not know the most important missions that Christ have chosen us is fruit-bearing purposes. Perhaps you may say, what kind of fruit are you talking about? Well, let's take a look. In Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see, the main purpose for Jesus Christ saving us is to imprint his image on his sheep, on his children, and on his followers. And how does he imprint it on us? Through fruit bearing. Bearing the 9 fruits of his characters in us. That's the characters of the Holy Spirit, you know. Then that's the character of God, you know. Listen to this one more time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long sufferings, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, which means control by God. Do you behave this way right now? Do you have love, joy, and peace in your heart? Do you have long suffering? Are you gentle or are you ferocious? Are you good or are you evil? Do you have faith or do you have doubt and worries? Are you meek or are you filled with pride? Do you have a life that is controlled by the Holy Spirit or a life that is filled with your flesh? You can check mark these and see which one you belong. The 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit must ultimately be formed into our life, our heart and mind, before we meet our Heavenly Father, our Lord, into eternity. Do you know that? If you go to church week after week and week after week, there is no transformation. You better put a question mark. What is wrong with me as a born-again Christian? Perhaps you're not born again. Then you need to be born again. But if you're born again, then you need to be able to walk with the Holy Spirit in obedience to the Holy Spirit, not according to your flesh. Just like the Apostle Paul says, Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, when we walk according to the Holy Spirit, we do not need law. Because the Holy Spirit will bear the 9 fruits way, way beyond the carnal law. For that reason, Paul says, if ye be led by the Holy Spirit, you are not under the law. The Holy Spirit does not need law. The Holy Spirit by nature is holy. That's his nature. It is not possible for the Holy Spirit to sin. It is on our side that we got a problem. Our flesh is sinful. It is not possible to be holy. It is impossible. For that reason, Jesus Christ came to die on the cross. 1, he sheds his precious blood to wash away every one of our sins and make us holy in order for the Holy Spirit to dwell in our heart so that he can grow us and begin transforming us and begin blooming through us his 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, his characteristics in us. It is not through our strength that we can do that. The flesh cannot perform the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. That is impossible. We can only abide in him. Perhaps you say, what do you mean abide in him? Abide in Christ means you remember his words and you act upon his words. Not just read, but act on it. You see, and you choose to act on it. And if you cannot overcome a certain sin, that is okay. Because you know why? We have the Holy Spirit to assist us. All you have to do is you have the heart. Oh God, have mercy upon me. I cannot overcome this sin. Please help me to overcome them. And so you cry before the Lord God to overcome certain sins in your life. And obviously, it requires you to come before the Holy God to spend time and practice godliness. What do you mean godliness? Practice godliness means reading the Word of God, praying in the wilderness means 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, alone with God, confessing your sins, singing His sacred hymns, and obeying the Holy Spirit and crucifying your flesh. Do not go out there where those sins are and commit and tempt yourself into the sins that you should not be doing it. Do not go around bars or bad places, cinemas or temples where there are a lot of demons out there. Every sin carries one demon. And if you don't believe me, you can hear the story that I've shared in other preachings about the young man that vomited every single sin with demon as he confessed his sins, obviously. So my dearly beloved, Jesus said, but if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. So our spiritual growth and success lies in our death. The Apostle Paul says, I die daily. And the Apostle Paul continues to say in Romans 8:13 that if you mortify the deeds of your flesh, you shall live. And if you do not mortify, you shall die. What do you mean, die? He was not talking about physical death, spiritual death rather, because Christians in the sight of God, once born again, we do not die. It's written as sleep for born again Christians. We sleep when we physically die. The Lord never calls us death. Death means separated eternally from the Holy Spirit. For that reason, we must mortify the deeds of the flesh, the Apostle Paul says. Mortify means kill it. If you don't kill it, if you don't transform it, repent of it, you're not going to get anywhere from being a baby. And you cannot journey to the finish line. It is impossible. Now, verse 25 says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ requires us to lose and hate our life. You might say this is a little bit confusing. Well, let's go over it one more time. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And earlier I mentioned the same thing. If you love your life, if you love to tour out there all day long and shop all day long and refuse to read the Word of God and refuse to put Jesus first in your life, you can't be a believer. You'd rather walk the world and end up in the lake of fire with the devil. Because it is not possible to walk a godly path and mix it with worldliness. It doesn't work out that way. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. In other words, there are many times you have to bear your cross, just like Jesus says. If any man were to follow me, they must first deny themselves and then take up that cross and follow me. You see, until unless you deny yourself and willingly choose to crucify yourself, there is no way you can do the last step of following of Jesus. It is impossible. Perhaps in America, we have freedom of worshiping God. But in many, many countries out there, including communist China years ago, when the communists took over, many, many Christians are imprisoned or give up their faith. In that scenario, what would you choose? You see, right now, when things are easy, there are many, many people who would like to go to church and stay in church because church is a lot of fun. But in reality, genuine believers must be tested. And in communist China, at that point of time, many, many Christians decided to delete their name from the church. Even though they have been baptized, they say, no, I don't want to be Christians anymore, because they end up in jail. And there's no future for being Christians. At that point of time, you will see the genuine Christians being in jail. The false ones, or the temporizers, they quit. This is why the verse 25 says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Two of my spiritual teachers from China, Miss Esther Wang and Brother or Uncle Dong, I call him, were both in prison for 20 years for Jesus. They cannot give up Jesus, even though they were encouraged to give up and say, well, you can lie your faith and just get out from jail. And Uncle Dong says, I cannot do that simply because the word of God, Jesus said, if you deny me, then of course he will deny ourselves. He will deny every one of us before the Heavenly Father. If we confess him, then he will confess us before Heavenly Father. What would you like to choose? So Uncle Dong says, I cannot deny Jesus. And so he remained in prison for 20 long years, sacrificing his life to do hard labor, his future, including his family. How about you? Do you think you would choose the path of Uncle Dong does? And Miss Esther Wang, my other teacher, is the same thing. She was sold by a so-called pastor who became a communist spy into the jail. I mentioned that story in another preaching. One of the reasons why she was sent to jail is because she translated the book by Andrew Murray, The Life of Prayers, from English language into Chinese language, and she was labeled as anti-revolutionary. For that reason, she was put to jail for 20 years for Jesus. But there are many, many miracle stories in their life that they have shared with me. And these two precious saints are my teachers. They have taught me the truth about Jesus. They would die for Jesus. Would you die for Jesus? You see, until unless you're willing to die for Jesus, you can never finish the path of the cross. I shall share with you the story of Uncle Dong in here. Uncle Dong was my spiritual teacher. He was sent into my life by the Lord Jesus to teach me the truth of the gospel, and his life was a real testimony. When he left finally the jail, the Lord had opened the doors for him to come to America with his wife to witness for Jesus. And the very first time I met him in the church, I was drawn by his godly prayer. When he began to make a prayer, very simple and short as it is, I sense that this is a man of God, because out of his body comes the godly radiations, characters of Jesus Christ that I have never seen anywhere. I sense that this is a man of God. You see, when one is filled by the Holy Spirit, another sheep can sense it. This is a servant of a living God, not an ordinary so-called Christians. That was my first time meeting him in a church. And as he began to share his story with me, it impresses deep in my heart, a genuine disciple of Christ Jesus. He was originally a manager in a bank, very well financially, with four of his children and his wife. When the Lord calls him to serve, when the communists took over, he wasn't sure about serving Jesus because many churches have been closed. And of course, the Bible burned And it is a point of time that the Lord calls him. Nonetheless, he was worried about his four children because they are young. And he was worried financially, if he served Jesus, what is he going to feed the children with? So one day, he knelt on his knees to pray. And he said, Heavenly Father, merciful Heavenly Father. As he spoke the word of God through his lips, and calling Heavenly Father, merciful, being merciful, the voice of the Lord through the Holy Spirit began to reply to him. And he says, if you call me merciful Heavenly Father, am I less than the bank that you work with? Am I not able to provide you like a bank provides you your financial needs every month? Am I less than a bank? At this point of time, Uncle Dong began to weep in tears. Because God says, am I less than a bank and not able to feed your children? Finally, as the word of God says, he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Uncle Dong submitted and surrendered his life to the Holy Spirit and quit his work as a manager in the bank and began to follow Jesus and become a preacher. At that point of time, being a preacher is not like in free America where you can preach any way you like. No. Out there, you can only preach in underground churches. So he went down from Shanghai to Canton. It's the same thing like going down from New York to California, maybe from New York to Los Angeles. And he was in totally different environment in Canton. The language is different, the culture is different, and he and his wife began to preach in underground churches. Before long, he was captured by the communists simply because one of the members in the underground churches sold him in order to trade for her husband who is in prison. So in other words, Brother Dong gets in the jail and her husband left the jail. Exchange. Right? So that very night when he was captured by the communists, his wife was left alone walking up and down on a street being homeless. And of course, the four children are in Shanghai. They're not with them. Now, dearly beloved, we're talking about real story right here. We're not talking about a theory. This is a real life story. And so Mrs. Dong, or Auntie Dong, told me the story. She was lost like a goose on the street, walking up and down, not knowing what to do, simply because the husband was captured by the communists and imprisoned. And as she was lost on the street that morning, at 2 o'clock in the morning, up and down, walking on the street, totally lost of directions and feeling very, very sad and depressed, of course, all of a sudden, she heard a loud voice from the sky in Shanghainese language to her. The street was empty with nobody. And the voice of the Lord spoke to her crystal clear from the sky to her, just like to the Apostle Paul. And that voice of the Lord says, you must trust me. Dearly beloved, our Heavenly Father is so sweet. You know, when we truly love him, he will manifest himself whenever we needed him. Isn't that something? Isn't that wonderful? And all of a sudden, Mrs. Dong turns around and not seeing any human being at all, but the voice she heard crystal clear, you must trust me. It is not in the wrong hand. It is in the hand of a Heavenly Father. She was so joyful. And she began to journey and continue preaching until she was also captured in the jail. My dearly beloved, These two couples have sacrificed their life for Jesus. This is what I'm talking about. And finally, of course, they went through difficult life in jail. Uncle Dong went through hard labor and very little food and horrible conditions, way beyond what words could describe. Nonetheless, the Lord is always victorious. And the miracle thing about his wife, Mrs. Dong, the reason why she was allowed to leave the jail is because she was crippled, totally worthless labor. And so the communists decided to kick her out because she's an extra mouth to feed, not being able to labor. However, when she left the jail, she was totally healed of a crippling and back to normal. How amazing that our God does so many miracles in our life. You see, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And ultimately, when Uncle Dong and his wife came to America and shared with me, it is only crystal clear that he said God is a God of absolute faithfulness. And at one time, I remember vividly when he shared with me the test of faith that he had to go through prior to going to jail was 3 days of with no food for the children, and there was no offering. However, every single meal was provided by God and fed the children. It was a very hard test of faith, but God is faithful. And at one time, he mentions, there was no breakfast for the children that morning. They had to pray together and ask God to provide for the next morning. Amazingly, at night, there was a huge tempest. The strong wind began to blow the dates of the next door neighbor. The ripened dates began to fall into their front yard. And they're able to take those dates to cook for their morning breakfast. Meal by meal, they look up unto God until they learn the lessons of 3 days walking by faith and faith alone. My dearly beloved, there are many, many more precious stories like that. But the word of God says, and he that hated his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. It is very important for born-again Christians to continue walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit and acting out the word of God, exactly like the scripture writes. Any sinful habits, any things of the flesh, any worship of self or mammon must be totally deleted. We must walk in absolute godliness and obey the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and I will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him as well as manifest unto him. You see, the Lord requires us, number one, to deny ourselves, number two, to take up the cross, and finally, number three, to follow me. It is not by our own human strength. That requires the Holy Spirit as we submit to the Holy Spirit, as we deny ourselves and obey the Holy Spirit and crucify ourselves. The last part is done by the Holy Spirit. This is a supernatural strength that enable Uncle Dong and his wife to go through the jail. Miss Esther Wong, that story I mentioned in the other preaching, also go through the jail successfully. And so it is the presence of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, as we submit and obey the Holy Spirit and uplift him daily in our life, he will begin to give us the supernatural power to follow Jesus. It is not possible for any human flesh to follow Jesus. That is way, way beyond what flesh can do. It takes the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to give us that supernatural power and strength to be able to guide us through every single trials. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. The word where I am, referring where Jesus is the Lord, You see, the name of God, as Moses says, "What is your name, Lord?" He says, "I am." You see, and I am that I am. So the Lord God name is I am. And it says right here, where I am means where Jesus is the Lord, there shall also my servant be. If you really would like to know whether a preacher or a pastor is a servant of a living God, take a look at their life. Is Jesus a Lord in their life? Are they manifesting the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit and godliness radiating from their lifestyle and their body? Or are they just carnal, worldly, looking like the world? Not a whole lot better than unbelievers. Now, Jesus says right here, where I am means where Jesus is the Lord, there shall also my servant be. You see, the servant of the Lord is marked by the filling presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can radiate, you know, as you grow in Christ Jesus. He can radiate with godliness. At one time, my spiritual teacher, Miss Esther Wong, was called to come to my home. And when she comes through to my house, believe it or not, instead of having perfume everywhere in the house, her perfume is absolute super peace. All of a sudden, my husband and I are experiencing very peaceful in our house, because within her body is the Lord Jesus Christ that is fully grown in her. The Holy Spirit fills her body, so she carries in her body the mark of Christ. She began to pray with us, and our house is full of super peace. Just like somebody carries a perfume, isn't it? Her perfume is super peace. So you know that this is a servant of a living God. If you go around somebody, they give you headache, and you feel stressful around that person, I can guarantee you, that person is filled with the devil, not the Lord Jesus. It doesn't matter whether they put on a cloak of a sheep, of a cloak of a pastor. I can guarantee you that person manifested within her heart or his heart what is outside on her body. Even the whole aura can manifest. If you are filled with Jesus, the whole aura is white. If you are filled with a black, ugly demon, the whole aura is black. I have seen too many cases. Too many Christians, where I pray with them, at first they look black and ugly and terrible. And after confessing the sins and laying hands on them, they become very peaceful, very joyful, and the whole aura become white. I'm not talking about the skin, I'm talking about the aura. Anyhow, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now the last promise of the word of God is extremely precious. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. My dearly beloved, I have many, many testimonies to share with you. How if a man serve Jesus, God will always hear their prayers. I shall share with you one right here, one of my testimony. I was in the business world, and I was in the bridal business wholesale, and a customer has ordered a dress and need a dress urgently to be shipped UPS overnight. And so I packed the stuff, ran to the UPS, and labeled it UPS red, which means you have to be there in one day, the next day. But by the time I arrived in UPS, the doors of that UPS has closed. It is past 6 o'clock. The office of UPS closed by 6 o'clock. And especially UPS red, which means emergency, which means urgent, they would not accept past 6 o'clock. And as that UPS office closed by 6 o'clock, the fences are there closed, the trucks are all parked, I thought to myself, I am in deep trouble, Lord. I need this package to be shipped overnight simply because my customer needs that dress for her customer. And it's an emergency. I've got to have it across to her. So what do? I remember vividly the word of the Lord. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word stays in your heart, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So here I am standing in front of the fences, closed doors of UPS, and I began to pray and cry to God with all my heart. I said, Heavenly Father, please have mercy upon me. This particular package is emergency. I've got to give it to my customer. But the doors is closed. It's 6:10. And all the trucks are all parked inside. Lord, have mercy upon me. I cried before God with all my heart. All of a sudden, there was an Afro-American gentleman, UPS employee, that saw me standing in front of that fence. And he began to run towards me and shouted across the fence. And he said, throw that package, hurry, hurry, because the truck is leaving to the airport. My dearly beloved, it was such a joy. I threw that package across the fence to the gentleman. And he took my package and ran towards the truck that is about to be leaving in a matter of seconds to the airport. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now I want to share with you another testimony where I was supposed to send many packages at night. The reason why I work at night in my own business, it is because during the day, I have to look after my baby. My son was just a newborn baby. And I have to take turn with my husband. When he comes back from work, I go to my work at night. And usually the UPS drivers would collect the packages by 6 o'clock, but the drivers can pick up anyone when you meet the driver, and they would go through the hub at 8:30. And pretty much most of the drivers are gone after 8:30. And so I took my packages and packed a stack of many, many packages and arrived at UPS at 9 p.m. You would probably say, well, this is not good. And I agree. I thought to myself, Lord, I am in deep trouble because by 9 p.m., who would be there? The office closed at 6 p.m. The drivers have gone home by 8:30. Pretty much all of them would drive into the hub and gone home by 8:30. Who would be there by 9? And here I am carrying many of this merchandise, stack of boxes of dresses to be shipped to my customers alone in front of UPS building again. However, in that door, there is a security guard. And I heard in the past that 9 p.m., usually there is somebody that would come through to just check. And I was thinking to myself, maybe he can help me to pick my packages. So I began to pray to God, oh God, have mercy upon me, because I don't see anybody out there. And when I asked the bodyguard, he said, I do not work for UPS. As I pray and cry to God for mercy, I said, Heavenly Father, please be thou merciful upon me. I need these packages to be shipped out to UPS. And as I cried to God for mercy, all of a sudden there was another car that was parked next to me. And I thought to myself, this particular guy must be just as in deep trouble as I am, because there's nobody out there in UPS by 9 p.m. You knew that. However, when the gentleman came out from that particular car with his wife and two children, I thought to myself, another problem like myself. He is going to have another problem like me. So I walk towards that guard again, hoping somebody would come out. And all of a sudden, I said to the guard, do you know if there is anyone would come out by 9 p.m. from UPS? And all of a sudden, I heard that gentleman that came out from that car that was parked next to me replying to me. He said, supposedly, he said. Then I asked him, are you like me? Shipping with your merchandise, hoping for someone to pick it up? And the gentleman replied very courteously. He said, no, I am the general manager of the UPS hub, the CEO of the whole UPS big hub in Northern California. And I am just on my vacation, coming in to check to make sure that everything else is fine. Then I turn around and say, sir, would you be kind enough to pick up my packages for me and put it inside the UPS for shipping? And he replied very courteously and very modestly. He said, of course. No problem. So he took all my merchandise, my dearly beloved. He, his wife, and children helped me to put them through to the UPS main hub. My dear friend, the Lord God is amazing. And according to his words, he says, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. The God that I serve is absolutely alive and living and lovely. As I cried to him, not only he did not send me a driver, he sent me a general manager, the CEO of the whole hub, to serve me, to pick up all my merchandise. What an honor, isn't it? It is such a joy to serve Jesus, my dearly friend. And I pray, my friend, for you to choose walking with Jesus. Don't forget, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Yes, it might not be easy to deny yourself and take up that cross. However, if we absolutely be willing to obey him, believe it or not, the Holy Spirit will equip us with supernatural strength, and he will answer prayers wherever we go. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. My dearly beloved, it is now time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you through his words today. And may you choose to always walk with Jesus, our risen Savior, remembering always his words of promise. One more time, that if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. In Jesus' precious name, I ask and pray for. Amen.